Here's the thing, I know I am. Amen. I get up every day wanting to hear something from God because it matters. Whoa. Sometimes we forget that. Amen. God's with us today. That would be my prayer, is for us to get a new revelation of how big God is and that He's with us. And for about a month now, I've been preparing off of a word that I heard, that I felt in my heart. And I see the reason why every day. I see the things that lead up to why this word needs spoken in my own life and in the things around me, but in people's lives as we prepare for today. Amen. And I feel very prepared, very much at peace, that God's going to speak to us today and speak to me for sure. And I'm just thankful that God can do that. So thankful. Because without it, there's not much hope without God. And we're going to learn a little bit about that today, I believe. I want everybody to give my wife a hand clap. She has a birthday tomorrow. She turns 29. And I'm thankful for that, for the so many of time. I don't know how many that is. Also want to pray for her Uncle Tom, who has been battling cancer. Some of you might know him, Tom Barber. And our family's dealing with that. And we're just praying peace there at his time. So just be praying for that. So if we would. And I welcome us today because God has an appointment for us. I'm never going to not say that. God is part of my ministry when I travel has said, God wants to speak to you today. He wants to speak to me today. But here's the thing, He wants to every day. We have to be reminded of that. So I've got an appointment with God all the time. He's omnipresent. He's here with me continuously, and so is His Word. And every aspect of what's in this Word is available to me, ready for me, on call. Amen. And we have to remember that today, because the big thing that I think we go, well, God doesn't have time for me. We're all busy. Let me tell you something. God's not busy like we are. He's available to you today. And He's waiting for us to call upon Him. I think about that song we just sang, I will call upon your name. Amen. And He can seize the storm. But through the trials also, He can bring us revelation. And through the trials where my victory's found. Woo! And I want to get into that, because when you're dealing with trial, you're dealing with something, the enemy has a plan to distract us and get us off course, but God has a bigger plan through it. We have to push through to find out what that plan is. Amen. And so we either fear the trial or fear the storm, or we trust God. Patty's right on it, because she hadn't known my word, but when she was praying that during, I'm going, wow, Lord, you're doing a work today. Every song that Luke picked out and what we went through today is all coming together for a great word. I'm believing for that. So I'm going to pray, and we're going to enter in, and we're going to just let God lead us today. And wherever He wants us to go, I'm believing it's from Him today. Okay, I'm just going to trust Him. I'm going to listen to my heart, and we're going to follow God's plan. Amen. Okay, let's pray. Father God, we come to You in Jesus' name, and God, we need to trust You today. We need to know who You are today at a greater level. Father, every time I pray to You, God, I pray for victory and salvation. And God, today Your people, all of us, are one or the other. We need to start walking in more of the victory that You have for us, or we need to know You as Savior. And everybody here is in one of those two places. None of us are exempt. I need more victory today. I need to know more of what You have for me and how to find it. And God, today I believe over Your people, the trials, the things they're facing, the fear that comes into our life, You're going to teach us about that and how to overcome it and how to proceed to the good things on the other side of the trials that we face. So, Father, I'm thankful today. I just pray that this word will be all about You and nothing for me, God, but that You would just deliver it in a great way to Your people, and that they would receive. Open their hearts and minds, God, right now, in Jesus' name, to receive Your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Revelation. About a month ago, before we even started this month of pastors coming in and guys speaking, there was a word that God showed me. And it was in Genesis chapter 3, 9 through 11. And it's the first thing. It is a conversation, you guys have all heard this. Adam and Eve are in the garden, and what's happened is they've made the wrong choice. They decided not to follow God's word. In my opinion, my interpretation of when Adam and Eve listened to the serpent and failed right here, God only had given one word, don't do A. So there's one word, and what happened when they chose not to follow God's word, this is the revelation that God gave me to preach on today. And it's happening in my life. We all are dealing with this at a high level. But let's see what the Lord has to say about it. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? So he said, I heard your voice in the garden, And I was afraid. Whew, because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you not to eat? Had you made a choice outside of my word? You see what we're saying? So right here, the very first thing under the fall of man that happened to mankind is fear. And God showed me that. And this fear, whether you realize it or not, I'm not here to scare you, but it's exponentially growing in the world we live in. Because we're continuing to be faced with more fears through the news, through the things, and we're consuming ourselves with so many things that keep us from finding the truth of God and seeking the Word, that we have no time for God, so therefore we become more and more afraid. Amen? And here's some of the things that I learned from this. First of all, naked in this means more than just unclothed. The word carries the idea of being guilty, now exposed and vulnerable to God's judgment. Uncovered and out of protection. Whew. You see what I'm saying? Now I'm guilty. Oh, I'm guilty, God. Now I'm naked from your covering. What do I do now? Okay. And you have to ask yourself, do you feel covered by God? Do we trust God enough to not fear? Now, I'm not saying we're all not going to face fear, because we are. But at some time, my ability to continue to seek God, seek His Word, and get closer to God will be a direct reflection of how much I fear or don't fear. Woo. Okay, so God told me to ask this question. I've got two questions today. Are you afraid? And then if that answer is yes, it'd be what are you afraid of? There's things like my home, my job, my life, my children, my position, you know. I have coach baseball. Will I play or not? That stuff's real to kids, though. It's real to them. And as parents, unfortunately, we make it more real than it needs to be, you know. But it's true. At every level, we're facing fears. Now, the thing that God showed me was, Mark, my people are afraid. A lot of times we don't want to admit we're afraid because it makes us feel weak, right? So we turn around, and how do we counter that? We start trying to find ways to cover myself up. Well, I'll just get mad about it, or I will do anything to counter that from my flesh to cover up and hide more. As Adam's doing, I want to hide more. So how many ways I didn't obey God? So how many ways do we run through life chasing things, going, I'll just cover it up a little better. I'll chase something else, make myself feel a little better about it. I'll run from it a little harder, but I'll do something from my flesh, and I choose things rather than just run back and just trust God so that I can get in a place of peace. Amen? So this is what we're all dealing with. And if we don't think we have fear, that we are all exempt from fear, and Adam's right here, I'm pretty sure we face it, okay? Now, I'm going to tell you that fear, how many have had anxiety? They're close to the same. I'm going to talk about that as well. I'm going to believe, because I've seen in my own life, how it comes from, in my opinion, the same root of separation from God, or not being in a place with God that can help me physically too, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, physically, relationally. God has perfect health for us in all His Word. So we're going to hear a little bit about that, because I'm going to take a little rabbit trail in a minute. People say, I have lots of reasons to fear or to be afraid. Got lots of them, don't we? We face them every day, okay? Why are you afraid? The other one is, I am not afraid, because that would be admitting that I'm weak. I wrote that down. This is the big one. Kids do this all the time. Well, I'm not going to act like I'm afraid, so I'm just going to be tough. Or I'm going to run and hide, not put myself in a situation. You don't understand how much fear our young people are dealing with right now. And to bring that to the light is something that needs to happen more. Why can we not give them the one thing, which is God, and impart into young people's lives the things that they need to trust God in so that we can stop the fear? Because you realize, as I'm preparing this word, how many things we can eliminate and how many things would change if we could just trust God enough to just quit fear. If we quit fear, I believe it's the key component and the root. Right here we saw the first thing that happened that causes the anger, the wrath, the malice, the bad decisions, everything that's in the works of the flesh that you guys read in the Bible. I could go to Galatians right now and spell them out for you. But I believe the root cause of all of those things by preparing this word is the fact that fear entered in because we're not covered by God and we're afraid God's mad at us. And I'm not worthy of God's love. And I'm not worthy for God to be by my side and protect me. Somebody needs to hear that, because He is by your side today to protect you in Jesus' name. By the power of the blood of the Lamb, I stand before you, and God is beside me right here, no matter what I face. And I have to learn not to fear, even in the greatest of trials, because he's got my back into the grave. Whether or not I fail or succeed in the things that I do in life and the things that I walk out, I cannot be defeated. There is no reason to quit, because Jesus Christ is my Savior, and by that blood, I believe in the power of that. Woo! Whether I walk in it every day, and as I'm battling tons of things in the world, who works in the world, in the workplace, and I'm battling all these things, sometimes I feel like I take a sword to a big battle, and sometimes I feel like I'm the only one with the sword in around the people in the battle that I'm in. And sometimes we have to stand alone and trust God. We all do that at times. So we have to learn to not be afraid of that. I have a lot of reasons to be afraid, but we can choose God. I'll tell you another thing. When I said admitting I'm weak, without God, we are weak. He showed me that. Newsflash, tell my people, Mark, that without me, they're pretty weak. Because it's the truth. We can act like that we have this great thing, and we can figure this out and walk out life and do it, but at no point since this separation with God, without Jesus Christ in my life, can I have any real substance of victory. I have none, guys. I am not capable. We need to stop believing that we have the same control that Adam and Eve thought they could be like God and do something and walk over here and start walking out their own lives. We have to stop thinking that we play a part in our victory and salvation, because that's only by the blood of the Lamb. Wow, but we all get empowered and say, I can fix that problem. You know who's a control fix person? I'll just fix them all and bring 1,000 of them. You know what the enemy does to me sometimes? Throws me so many, he says, just handle them all, Mark, and I'm juggling balls. Amen? Who's dealt with that? It's just, and what the enemy does to me a lot of times, he just says, I'll just let Mark have them all, then he thinks he can do it. And I'm like, I'm not really trying to do, then I just got to go, let them all fall. God, pick them up. I've been trying to battle them. Let them hit the ground. You pick them up and protect me, because I know you can. Because at the end of the day, we all have to walk out life and try to do our best. But at some point, when the balls start falling on the ground, we finally just go, that's it. Who gets to that point sometimes? You finally throw up your hands and say, fix it, God. Takes a while sometimes, doesn't it? But if we could just get a closer relationship with God, where it's the first place we're turning to when things come at you, that it just bounces off, we can get sealed in the Holy Spirit, and just be trusting God and walking it out and watching his plan go forth. Because I'll tell you what I've learned is I can mess it up worse. So we have to be careful. So let me ask you this. When you've been faced with a trial and things come into your life and you run around and fix it, how many times when you fix it in and of your own ability, does it get worse? Oh, I pile it on. Throw gas on this fire. Sometimes you just got to get quiet and get calm and get peaceful and let God take care of it and do our best not to fear. Whew, God tells us not to fear. Here's the big one I got into. It's a scripture. I'm going to get through these. Ecclesiastes 12:13. And I heard this when I'm researching this. This is big. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. This is what man's supposed to do. are we there? Do you understand what I'm saying? Because when I read that, I was like, okay. I look up messages, and when I get into this, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is, okay, so Adam and Eve didn't keep the commandment, they're afraid. So once we start keeping the commandment, therefore it tells us that we can not be afraid. You see what I'm saying? So that's where this is going. Now I'm going to get into this, what it says about fear. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind, a reverence fear of God. Okay, so I'm going to tell you what, as I research this, to fear God is to have the proper reverence and awe for him, so we do whatever is required of us to serve him. Okay? There's a good statement I've found. We must recognize that God is loving, merciful, and forgiving, but he's also holy, just, he's righteous. Knowing God and understanding his character means accepting the fact that his justice and holiness, purity, perfection, completeness of character, and separation from evil. Cause him to judge sin. In this sense, fearing the Lord is to appreciate who he is. Woo. See, it's not the same. I'm not afraid of God. The judgment that when I'm not with him is this holy reverence because he's holy. Oh, he's holy. Woo! And we'll never get there. But that holiness is what this reference is talking about, this reverence of God or this fear, is that he's holy, and I need to be like that if I want things to work out. Okay? So let's not confuse that. I hope I made that clear. Is that clear? That we understand, because there's a lot of fear in the Bible. I'm going to talk about anxiety and fear right quick. Anxiety is a feeling of fear, dread, or uneasiness. It might cause you to sweat, feel restless and tense, to have a rapid heartbeat. I've dealt with anxiety at time of life, especially before I really found the Lord and got saved. Anxiety is your body's natural response to stress. It's a feeling of fear or apprehension about what's to come. Going to a job interview and just think of some examples. Oh, I got anxiety, you know, this fear. And then I also looked up, what is fear? Simple definition. An uneasy feeling of dread, a feeling of an alarm warning us, a feeling of being threatened by something. It's very similar. I believe they come from the same root of insecurity, that God is beside me and he has a great plan for me and I need to trust that one. And so somebody needed to hear that today. I needed to hear that when I was researching this, okay? Okay, so the statement, Ecclesiastes 12:13, mankind decided not to follow God's commandments. People are going to do what they want and ignore the principles and the word of God, and they are therefore afraid. It's just drawing conclusions based on exactly what God's saying and believing that he means exactly what he says. But when we read the word, sometimes we just, well, maybe God means that. No. One thing I had to conclude when I really found the Lord and started getting free was that God's always right. His word's 100%. Funny, isn't it, that we get to choose which parts we think's right or not, but that's not the case. So in overcoming fear, there's really one scripture, but I'm going to give us 4 points that I think are relevant to overcoming this fear that I believe we all have. And together, God is going to preach this to me, and he's going to preach it to all of us. But the main scripture in this that God showed me is in Isaiah 41:10. So please write that down, and we need to underline. This is one, everybody I know that has addressed this, pastors and people, this is the key. Fear not, Isaiah 41:10, 10 through 13, we're going to start in 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Behold, all those who were incensed against, we're going to go on against you, shall be ashamed and disgraced. They shall be as nothing. And those who strive with you shall perish. You shall seek them and not find them. Those who contend with you, those who war against you shall be as nothing, as a non-existent thing. For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not. I will help you. God tells me not to fear, that he's going to uphold me with his righteous right hand. Because you know what outcomes I want when fear comes to me? God's. Listen, none of us are good enough to fix some of the trials that we face, but sometimes we think we are. But God is. And you know what I've learned? If we let God fix it his way, then the way's always good. Woo! He will fix it, and not only does he fix it, he fixes everybody else's problems that are associated with it. He'll fix your family's problems. He'll fix everything around you based on the facts if we can get control into God's hands and quit and stop, because his work's perfect. He can take one instance and sweep through a family, sweep through generations, and change. I know in my life, the things that I've faced has swept through generationally through my family and other people just because of one choice that didn't have anything to do with me. I just said, why don't you do it, Lord? Okay. And start following this word. So even when I don't know what to do, that's when I decide I don't want to do anything except trust God. Amen? We need to remember that God means exactly what he says. I underlined that with an exclamation point. Someone needs to hear that. Because right now, okay, I'm going to skip to this. Right now, do we realize that God is right here in my presence, able to hold my right hand? And the power of God Almighty that created the universe is standing beside me saying, Mark, what do you need me to do? just give me control, because here's the deal, Mark, you don't know. But I am right here. But how many people right now when I said that were going, I'm not good enough, God's not beside me. All of us? Most of us? God loves you. Someone needs to hear that today. Enough, he's sitting right in the midst of you today by his word multiple times. It says it all throughout the Bible. Why can't we conclude that Jesus Christ is that good and God is right here in the midst of us, instead of thinking I don't deserve it or I'm abandoned or I got to fix this myself? God told me to tell you today that he loves you. Somebody needs to hear that so much that if you'll just let him, he'll take your anxiety and your fear. He will, because he already took it to the cross. Whew. Here's what he showed me. He's already done it. Then why don't we believe it? Can we trust him enough? God is with you right now. Do you believe that? He told me to ask everybody that. I'm not good enough. He's not really here. Not true. I'm going to tell you that. Afraid appears 214 times. I looked it up, and this is New King James Version. But fears 479 times in the New King James Version. God knew once this happened in Genesis how big of a deal fear was. That he just starts unfolding Genesis about how everybody's afraid. Go read it all the way through. You go through the Exodus, you go through the people of Israel. I was going through this in my head. They're right up against this could be you today, so I'm going to throw it out there. They're right up, here comes the chariots, right? And here's the ocean when the people of Egypt are leaving. Or not the ocean, the Red Sea. And they're right up against it, right? What do they finally have to do? God gave them no choice because they said, you've left us here to die, and that's it. So that God could truly be the Savior and part of the sea so that they could walk across that. But were they afraid? Yes. Imminent death, right? Imminent death. That's worse than some of the fear that we're facing. We think some of our fears are really big. Be between the Egyptians and the Red Sea, and we'll find out how imminent or how fearful we really are, okay? Because different levels of fear will test you, and there's a level of fear you'll get to that you'll eventually say, I can't do it, okay? So what God wants us to do is be close enough to him instead of just chasing the world until we finally go, okay, God, it's bad enough now. Who does this? It's bad enough now. I'll just run over and let you help me now, God. Woo! Feel that, amen? We do that. Something I have, this is written on my dugout wall because I believe it's such a big deal. 2 Timothy 1:7, everywhere I go. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. I preach it all the time because one of my life messages, I only have about, you guys watch me preach a lot, God gives me about 5 things and that's it. And he has me preach a lot about the same stuff the times he calls me and gives me an assignment. And he's bringing those assignments more into my life so I can do the same assignments. Because right here, the spirit of fear didn't come from God. So if you're afraid, there's something in your life that is missing God. Okay? And we need to be reminded of that. But you know what he did give me right here? Power and love and a sound mind to stand here today, even if I failed yesterday, and say, God, I'm going to go forward today with power and authority. We need to speak it without being afraid. We need to stand in the gap and understand that we have a lost generation that's dying and fearful right now, and not be afraid to start trusting God and telling everybody around us that God's big and God's good. He can fix these problems. Or we can just chase things with our flesh and continue to throw gasoline on everything until this world burns up. I don't know how God's going to do it, but I believe Jesus is coming back soon. And I believe he's telling us all to come forward and teach us how to trust God and believe in God by his word. Because it's overdue for me. It's overdue for all of us just to believe God at his word. Amen? That's good. Okay, so I want to have power, love, and a sound mind. So I want to look at what God gave me. So if I go through life and I'm not operating in those things, I'm operating in fear, when I start understanding that it's not God, then I need to make a better choice. One of the things I gained through this revelation, I'm going to skip ahead to myself, is every time I have an opportunity to fear, God has given me an opportunity to walk in faith. So when you feel fear, what you need to do is go, how much do I trust God? Sometimes not take the bait of the fear, not curse it and rehearse it with everybody, not try to see how everybody's going to react to my fear. Just stand firm in faith and get the peace of God. We're going to get to that in a minute. Stand there with peace of God and let God fix it. Hard to do, isn't it, sometimes? Because as soon as I'm afraid, I want to go tell everybody what my fear is. Boy, good gossip travels fast. And most of us are normally twisted and wrong. Most of us normally all mixed up in a bunch of lies because the enemy wants us off track. But to trust God, we have to really trust the truth, and then we have to quit being consumed by fear. Okay? Okay, I got four bullet points here. If you want to write, I never do this. I'm going to be a point pastor, okay? So it may going to be weird for me. But we got 4 points that I sought here about overcoming fear. Number one is realize that God is with you. Okay, we've already done that. So if you write down bullet one, God is with you. Fear, when not controlled, may lead to stunting our spiritual growth. If we don't control it. Instead of moving forward with faith, you stay within your comfort zone. And I've said to speakers all the time, when all my kids are at home and I got them in my bed, I know they're all going to bed right here, and I got them, and I'm really chasing God in ministry, which we did there for several years at that season of my life that God had me in. It was really easy for me to just keep that going forward, and I was growing in leaps and bounds, you know, attacking this. And then all of a sudden we start, other worries come in or concerns about, you guys have been there, your children, I preach about that all the time. And then the other things that they're dealing with, you want to go fix all those things, and you worry about other people, and then all of a sudden it brought new anxieties and new fear that I had to face as a father, which I'm just now handling, and I'm excited because my children need to hear that. I have the same faith for them now as I did for myself. I'm changing that. I'm deciding that God can manage that too. And it's taken me a while to really understand and move over to that. Okay, so realize that God is with you. I'm going to go to, we already did Isaiah 41:10, which is a big one. So do not fear, for I am with you. The one I'm going to move to is Psalms 118:6. I wrote this down. These are all good scriptures. The whole word is full of how to not fear. Okay, you need to research this for yourself. It says, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? It's good, huh? Having God on your side is more than enough for you to never be afraid of what the future holds. Psalms 23:4. Yay, we get this one at funerals, but this is true and all the time. We don't need to just isolate it to there. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Let me tell you something. If I'm walking in the shadow of death, that also can be the shadow of the separation of God that Adam was feeling. Let me tell you what spiritual death is. Just not trying to get, not believing and trusting God. Doesn't mean you're not saved, but I walk through the shadow of things coming after me. I need to remember that God saved me. He's my Savior. Okay? So when I walk through that valley, I will not fear. You see what I'm saying? Because unto the death, it's my free gift of salvation. I believe Jesus Christ, my Savior. He is with me today. Hebrews 13:5, let not your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I added this one because if he's by your side, he's not leaving. You know, he's standing right by my side whenever I've had sin in my life, when I make a mistake, when I get angry. God doesn't run off from us, guys. Okay? Someone needs to hear that. Okay, bullet number two. I'm moving right along. Trust in God. Note, everyone has an opportunity to fear, so therefore it's an opportunity to trust God. Okay, when I'm really empowered, I'm really seeking God, what happens when I start feeling emotions that are not recognized by my spirit man? I start to make another choice. Choose from the fruit of the Spirit. Okay? And I mean, the problem is when we have something that fears or something, we want to jump to the works of our flesh and attack it with our flesh. And you know, I go into that all the time, if you've heard me preach before. But the thing that we have to remember is, okay, I fear something. I'm going to move over here and just go, I don't know what this deal is, gal, but I'll bet you there's a good chance I can't fix it. Carrie and I were having a conversation this week. We were just going through things in our life. We're going to, Oh, we're going shopping. What does this do? Bank account. Where are we going to do that? You know, you guys do it. We're going. What are we going to do here? What about grace? What about we're running through these deals? And we just make a whole list. And you know what we concluded as we're driving along? We can't do anything about any of them. But we sure rehearsed for about 20 minutes. We were both laughing because we sure rehearsed for about 20 minutes how all these things that made us anxious, nervous, worried. We should just turn on the worship music and just said, God, you got all this stuff, and just drive to Woodward and kept the joy of the Lord. Amen. Wouldn't that be easier if we just did that? But we all do it. Let's get up in the middle. You know what I thought? This is going to be funny. I get up in the morning when we cook breakfast, Carrie and I go and get our coffee, and we're going to sit around. And the first thing I do is wake up of how many things I can be afraid of that morning. Woo! Have you been there? Yeah, you wake up and go, let's just start rehearsing our fear. Listen, when God's talking to Adam there and Adam was afraid, Jesus was coming. That's what we have to remember. The blood of the Lamb changed our covenant with God. And you know what God looks at in my failure? The blood of the Savior. Because he stands right in the gap for me. Guys, I've needed God so many times, and I still choose every day to go out and fight in a world that doesn't like it. And will come after you every day. But let me tell you something, my Savior's big. And I believe in the blood of the Lamb and the call of my life and the call of the things that I'm going to do. Even when I'm failing or falling short. Even when I get afraid of it. Because I'll tell you what will happen. You get more responsibility. There's more things to deal with. And sometimes, but I'm not afraid of it. I have to not be afraid of it by choice. So here's what I'm going to tell you. At some point, fear's a choice. That's my conclusion of it today as we go through it. If you're walking in fear and there's things in your life that you're afraid of, we can make better choices to the point that we can eventually, and I've been really empowered. There's a lot of people that come to me and go, and I hear bad things that we should be afraid of, and I'm at perfect peace with them. And the question was like, doesn't that scare you? Or doesn't that worry you? Doesn't that bother you? My initial answer wants to be yes in my flesh, but if I'm powered up in my spirit, man, I just am going to hold on to my peace because I have the peace of Jesus. It's not that I'm not concerned, and it's not that I don't want things to work out for these tragedies that we face in life, but I'll show you spiritual maturity in people that a lot of times are not wavered very much by adversity because they're just going to choose not to fear. Doesn't mean they're not human or that they don't recognize it or it doesn't bother them. But we need to make a choice that God's big enough to solve these issues or he's not. And we need people like that. We need people of faith that are going to just stand in the gap and go, no, I'm not going to be afraid of that. And I repent with my children and stuff, and I want them all to hear that because at times I've been fearful of their lives where I'm changing that, something I'm personally working on. It'll be my grandchildren someday and other people there, right? It's pretty good when it was just for me. But we love people so much, you know. Perfect love casts out fear. Okay, we're going to get there in just a second. Okay, trusting God. Everybody with me? Is everybody good? Is this good? Okay, so we're on point. What are we on point two? Trusting God. I have lived by this scripture. In fact, when I was on my very bottom, I had a person come to me. I'm weeping in a church service, messing up life. Things aren't going well. How many's been there? Whether you know it or not, that's me. I've been there. And I had a scripture handed to me in my hand. All it said was Romans 8:28. And I went home and I read it. And this is my comfort scripture. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. You know what I get out of that? All things. Do we trust God at his word? All things. I'm facing things right now that are part of all things. You see? It doesn't say just most of the things you face, Mark. It says all these things will work together for the good for those who are called. I'm like, well, I'm not called. Yeah, I was. I didn't even know it my whole life. And the enemy tried to get a long-term lease on me when I was a little kid many times and tried to steal my influence. And you see what I'm saying? It's tried to steal my influence many times. And I've failed many times along this process, but I still stand here today believing that scripture is true. Because that's all that really matters, is that God is my Savior and I love him. When I die to go home, I'm going to go home to be with Jesus. If that happens today, I'm eternally secure in that. And I'm going to tell you, somebody, I need to just speak this out there. I know that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven. Woo! By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Amen. I will testify to you today that I am eternally secure, that when I die, I will be in Lord. I will be in heaven with my Lord and Savior. That's my testimony. And you know why? Because the blood of the Lamb. You know what he'll never say in that statement? This is the difference. Not because Mark Ward's good enough or talented enough or everybody thinks Mark's a good coach or Mark's this and that. No. I'm good at the things that God has me do, and he gave me some talents and gifts, but I'm really good at nothing that he doesn't give me. Because everything he gave me comes from him. Praise God, I can play music, and he gave me gifts and things, but you know, they came from him. He just happened to give me some talents. And here's something you need to hear. If you'll use it for God, he'll expand them. That's what I learned, to a point that I'm like, you can do that too, God? Yes, I can, Mark. Just keep chasing the kingdom. I can do that. So anyway, Romans 8:28, you need to hear that. All things work together for good. So if you're dealing with a tragedy, God has a plan in it. Doesn't matter what it is. Okay? All right, Psalms 56, 3 and 4. I love this. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. And God, I will praise his word. And God, I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? It's a big one. Okay? We personally can't do anything with that, with about most of the things that we fear. That's why I wrote that about Carrie and I doing that. I do this week. Start realizing how many things you're afraid of. First of all, you're going to go, maybe it is fear. It is the root, I'll promise you. They're going to be disguised as these other little things that you're dealing with. But in reality, you're afraid of something in there. Okay, make that list and then ask yourself, how many of those things can you really change? You see what I'm saying? It's a state of mind. Someone needs to hear this too. It's going to stunt your spiritual growth because it has mine. I'm just empowered moving into God, and what stunted me is these fear for my children. They're like, what are they doing next? And it's kind of put me in a holding pattern that I've had to work through so that I can advance. Before I'm going to go to my next level and what God has for me, I've got to overcome some of those next levels of fear. Let's just be honest, okay? Trust in God. I personally conclude that fear in most instances is a choice. Well, okay, seek the peace of God. This is the good one, okay? When we are filled with fear and are stricken with the thought that things can go wrong, I already touched on this, but how many times do we dwell on the things that can go wrong? Why don't we dwell on the things that can go right? If our nature is, that's going to go wrong and that's going to go wrong. You know what I'm talking about? Every time something comes up, there's a lot of people that deal with, it's going to go wrong, it's going to go wrong, it's going to go wrong. What God wants you to do is go, it's going to go right, it's going to go right, it's going to go right. It's like, it's a strike, I'm hitting it. Using a baseball analogy, he's throwing me when I'm going to hit it. Instead of, I hope it's a ball. I'm not thinking about the right thing. What I should be thinking about is how this is going to go right. Okay? But honestly, don't have to raise your hands. How many, when you're dealing with a trial, the first thing you think of is all the things that can go wrong? If that's you, then I promise you it's fear. Because we all have it. If Adam had it, you've got it, okay, at some level. All right? But as we grow in God, we can get that peace of God. We can start turning things over to him because I magnify my own problems by throwing fuel on them. Okay? We've been over that. I know why I'm hitting that so many times. Somebody needs to hear that. But, oh, maybe we don't know the difference in what's right and wrong. Well, if my son would just hit 4 home runs, that would be right. You know, or if my team would just win, God, I'm afraid I'm going to lose the game. No, those aren't the things. Sometimes what God needs to go right may be through the avenue of a failure so that you can learn something that really matters for you and that'll make a difference in the people around you. In fact, I will tell you that only thing that I really grew in my life was my worst days. My failures attributed to where I'm at today because I had to turn it over to God. And that's where I saw the growth and saw that he's good and I saw that he's big. And I'm like, you're that big, God? Well, I'll just try even more. Woo, who's done that? I'm going to test you in it even more, God. Try me now in this, says the Lord. That came from tithing, by the way. Big one for me. Try me now in this, says the Lord, and see if I will not open the windows of heaven over you. Malachi 3:10, it's not my message. I will pour out a blessing, there won't be room enough to receive it, and nothing will destroy the fruit of your ground. Woo! If God gives me that promise, I need to believe it, amen? And so that's when I started tithing. It had nothing to do with the church needing money. God just needs my heart. He needs to know, if he just needs 10%, it's not very much for the security and the peace and the direction of God. God could take care of the whole world with 10%, like 100 times over if everybody would just do it. We don't need all these programs to try to help people. The church could do it all. That's been a proven fact. Okay, seek the peace of God. I want to go to John 14:27. This is good. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus just gave me peace, and I have to protect it. Let me tell you something. Gold, it doesn't matter. Money, gold, or anything. If there's two things I want to keep in my life, and I struggle with this like anybody else, I want my joy and my peace. And Jesus gave them both to me. And there's no payment, there's no anything that I should ever give up my peace for. The peace of God is great, guys. Today I experience, and I'll go out there tomorrow and we'll start getting the sword out again and try to keep battling. Amen. I wish sometimes I could stay right here, but that's not my call. I'm like, God, just put me in the pulpit every week. He's like, no, go out in the world and do something different. I'm like, okay. It's not as fun sometimes, but I feel safe in here. I feel safe when I bring God's word. I'm going to testify on myself right now. I feel safe when I can talk about Jesus because I love him in an environment like this because I know how powerful God is. So it's safe. But he's calling all of us to take it out there to where it's not necessarily safe. I mean, even though I'm covered and protected, but the enemy's out there lurking to see who he can devour. And they'll use the enemy will use any trick because, let me tell you something, he'll find out who he can kill, steal, and destroy if he can. Right? And it's low down. And so we have to be careful, right? So, but as long as God's by my side, we don't need to give the enemy too much credit. God already won that battle at the cross. Amen? Okay. Neither let it be afraid on that, John. These are all ones. Jesus gives us a reason why we must not be afraid. He gives us his peace. Here's what I wrote a note, and this is true. You can't have both peace and fear at the same time. And I heard it. So many pastors preach on this. This is what I thought about. When people come to me and what state of mind I'm in and prayed up and where I'm seeking God, they come to me with something that should be troubling or fearful. And when I have peace in it, it's kind of my barometer to know that it's going to be okay. Because if I'm not in peace, you know, it's absolute fear. When you really get afraid of something, you chase it. Guys, do you understand the power of peace that Jesus, he said in the word, he left it with us, right? And we need to protect that. God is in control. Peace is having God in your life. Peace comes from the assurance and belief that God is always in control. Even when we want to control it. Even when we think we can fix it and we're driving down the road and none of these things can we change. God is in control whether I keep my peace or not. So when I'm fearful and I'm running around and I'm chasing all these things and I'm scared to death, scaring everybody around me and harming the people in my life because I'm afraid, I'd be better off just keeping my peace because I can't do anything about it anyway. Most of my circumstances. Would you agree with that? And so we need to, that's a challenge for us today. I love to be practical and say it just like, this is just how it is. That's how God made me when I speak to people. That's what I feel that God's saying to us right now. Okay? God is in control. And he's always in control. Okay, number four, here's the big one. Be filled with love. God is love, and those who follow God must also be filled with love. Note, if we want to get rid of fear, we must replace it with something. If we keep our minds empty, fear can easily return. So if I just choose not to fear, you know what I've learned to do? Get in the Word, get my worship tapes going. You see what I'm saying? I need to replace that with something. Who has made bad habits and who makes bad choices? If you try to quit something that you're dealing with, and we all are, if we try to quit something that we deal with and then we don't replace it with anything, what you need to do is figure out what to replace it with. Good things of God, the things of God. Seek the right things. And you can change that. But if we leave an empty void in here, those things come right back if we're not careful. So that's why we have to seek God. Matthew 6:33, you guys know that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added to you. We can start adding things when we start seeking God. So we need to replace that stuff. Okay? Most important scripture for today is this, 1 John 4:18. It's a second, well, that one in, we were 46:10 a minute ago, but this is very important. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. There you go. Perfect love casts out fear. I love my children, my wife, in a way that this perfect, I believe it's the kind of love that I want to get to, that I would give everything for them, and I'm not afraid of that. And to think that God loves me more than that, his perfect love can cast out my fear. But when I get less afraid is when I just know that I love her, I love my children, I know the Lord loves me. When I start pouring the love of God of himself into myself and start recognizing how much he loves me, I get the fear leaves. Perfect love will cast out fear. Okay, every time. It's the most significant scripture for today. It really is. And the next one is John 3:16. There it is. It's on the goalpost, right? We're doing the football games. For God so loved the world. But see, I don't think we get this all the time. I always say this. I think we've heard it so many times we don't really think about what it's saying. Would you agree? Some of these scriptures, yeah, Jeremiah 29:11, we just quote them. We quote them. Yeah, that's a good one, God. But sometimes we just need to go, what's it really saying? He loved the world so much that he gave his only son. And I think about giving my son. God loves me more than that. Then that love is good enough by the blood of his son to stand by my side and protect me in my fear and take care of my future and hope for my family and my children and everybody else in my life, regardless of the circumstances that I face. And that's conclusion. That is the gospel. And that's what God wants people to hear. That's good. He gave his only, whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And what he always shows me here, because I'm going to wrap up, is that everlasting life is here and now. I grew up in church and stuff, and I thought it was, well, the everlasting life, that means after I die, I'll have this everlasting life. No, he wants me to have life here and now. The overcoming joy of the Lord, and walk that out on this earth. You know, this is not a book. Listen, someone needs to hear this, and I preach this every time. This is not a book on how to die. This is a book on how to live. When I die, I'm going to be home, be with the Lord anyway. Amen. This is a book. I get all this prayer prepared, so when I get to salvation, as long as I reach salvation, I've reached the finish line, then I can die and I can actually go to heaven. So we've interpreted this book for so long about salvation's the end. I'm going to go here, okay, because so many times the church has told us that once I'm saved, that's it. That's the starting point. When I was saved, I was like, man, I'm walking out, I'm saved. Wow, why am I still dealing with that, God? Why is that bothering me? He's like, you're just now on the path, now get in my word and figure out how to live the overcoming life with peace and joy, because now you're on the path. The everlasting life needs to be here and now. It needs to represent me in front of me every day. And do I fail at it? Yes. I don't want to, but I want to live that kind of life every day, because this is a book on how to live. And as we've forgotten that as the body of Christ. It's how to live the overcoming life. So I'm going to challenge you right quick, and then we're going to pray. I know this is a little bit of a hard word. You know, I always give them those faith-filled, everybody's fired up word, but the word is true. God doesn't want us to fear, okay? And as we go through it, I want everybody to try this. So what God come by my heart. Everybody try this. What can go right instead of what is probably going to go wrong? We're conditioned, guys. The world's conditioning us. Social media, everything's conditioning you right now that every time something happens in your life, you're conditioned to think the worst of it. How am I going to handle the bad side of this? You put yourself in a spot where I better get all the way over here in case it does go bad. So I got all my cards around. I know what to say. I know what to tell everybody. So when this thing falls apart, I'm over here. And all I did was move the total opposite direction of faith. So I'm over here now just. And if I literally, God doesn't want you to live over here, okay? He wants us to live over there. And I'm included. I'm preaching to myself. That's why God gave me this word. He never gives me words not for me, so that he's really just giving me a really good word for me. And I hope he's preaching to you today, because that's my goal when I came here, that he would reveal himself to you, and he can control that. I don't have to. What can we do? Dedicate our time. The word, prayer, worship, fasting. When things get bad for me, when I get really challenged with stuff, I read the word. I want to read the word better. I want to get in it more. I want to pray more because God's listening. He's right here. We just went over that. Okay. I want to get my worship music for sure because that really is something that gives me peace. How many get peace when they listen to worship music? How many enter the presence of God in here in the morning and the worship comes in and you get peace? Did you feel God's love? How many people quit being afraid? I'm standing up there playing the instrument this morning and I'm not afraid of anything because the peace of God came in. Isn't that funny? Wish we could do it every day. I used to tell Pastor Mark when I first got saved, I'm just going to get a bed and move in the church. I was just like, because every time I come on Sunday, I was so peaceful. I knew how much God loved me. And when I was a young Christian, I was going, I got Wednesday and Sunday, and I'm just trying to get in front of God as much as I can because I fell in love with God because he was real. It was so true to me. And it still is, but that I just want to bring, I go, and I was dead serious one day. I was like, Pastor Mark, can I just get a bed and just put it in the church so I can just stay there? I don't want to have to go back out there. Wow. Has anybody been there with me? If I can just stay up here and worship 24/7, I'm going to have some peace. I promise you. It's good. But where I was going with that, sometimes I got to go over and fast. Fasting for me. Fasting is a deal. And you know what? Fasting doesn't mean just food. I'm going to give something else, give something up for something else of God. I'm just going to pick something and replace it. So while I'm focusing on that, my flesh keeps reminding myself, I need to renew myself to the Word of God, renew my mind. So when I'm fasting, I've got a focus point. Sometimes I wear a bracelet at times on my hand because I'm getting a point. It's a form of fasting for me that I remember there's something I'm going to try to work through, and I'm just going to focus on something else rather than the things that or of this world when I'm going through a challenge. You see what I'm saying? God, fasting is a good thing. And I'm not. It doesn't always just mean food. It's different types of things. So those are the things. I want to read Hebrews 11:6. I'm going to skip down for Carrie, and then we're going to be done. Oh, I love this. And without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. This is my scripture, probably my favorite scripture. He's going to reward me if I earnestly seek him. He's a good God. He's going to reward me with things that are better than the things I think they are. It may not be a new house and a new car and a bunch of money and win the lottery. I mean, come on now, let's be real. Because the things he's given to my life, the real things that mattered, there's not a price for them. There's not a price, okay? So I wanted everyone to hear that. We're going to pray, and we'll be done. Did everybody get something out of that? I know I went a long time there, but I just feel with my heart you're yoked up. I feel like everybody gained something today. Did you hear from the Lord today? Okay, so before we get done, and I mean this, it was an appointment. We're going to believe that this word that you received today, whatever God told you today, is going to be it's going to be sealed. It cannot come back void, okay? We're going to pray over that here in a minute. And before we do, I'm going to read. You need to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. And we haven't done that. That's number one. Okay? So as I pray, I want everybody to stand up, if you would, with me. And there's a couple of things that God showed me. And you don't, everybody, eyes closed just real quick. I believe I need to do this. Everybody's eyes closed, head bowed. If you need to repent from trusting yourself to overcome your fear, I believe I'm supposed to ask you that because I'm raising my hand. Just raise your hand. If you need to repent that yourself's trying to overcome fear. Okay, yes, a lot of us. If you've been trusting others to help you overcome your fear, raise your hand. That's me. I trust on Pastor Mark helped me with my fear. Other people in my life. My children. Call my son sometimes. Just trying to see if he can help me when I'm afraid. So I believe that's good. And okay, if you don't know Jesus as Savior, please repeat this after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I want all of us to repeat this. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me. Forgive me of my sin, and make a clean heart in me. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. That's the first time you've prayed that prayer. Welcome to the kingdom of God. And we need to know how big Jesus is. Father God, I come to you, Lord. I thank you for an awesome word, God. I thank you that today you spoke to me. Lord, I just pray over your people, your peace. The love of God would abound in us and we can go forward and not be afraid of the things that we face. God, I pray that over your people. Thank you for this opportunity, God, to be here today. And God, protect me and my family and every family here and every person listening online. It's a good word today, God. It's right straight. I believe you just had the perfect word, the perfect timing for all of us here today. God, I love you and praise you until next week, God. We just love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. It's good. Overcoming fear.